Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Today is evangelism, because since these meetings got extended, I'm thinking about this. Number one, evangelist. One of the reasons this thing blew up, if you are an evangelist or feel called to be an evangelist, notice I have two different words, evangelists and evangelism, because many people teach evangelism, which is fine. Well, yes, there are evangelists, but how do we know we're all called to be evangelists? No, we're not. He didn't say he gave all evangelists. It says he gave some evangelists. So just like every Christian is called to disciple people, but pastor is an office and it's different. Every Christian is called to evangelize, but he gave gifts unto men. Ephesians chapter 4, which is a good place to start. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read it in the King James because it'll probably mess it up here. Ephesians 4, 7. However, but to Abraham. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he, being Jesus, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Part of what the resurrection of Jesus produced are gifts to men. So you can't just go bouncing around in the old, I see you, Pastor Sam, God bless you. You can't just go bounce around the Old Testament and copy somebody's ministry from the Old Testament because we're not in the Old Covenant. For example, when I finish these meetings, I'm not going to go find all the witches and kill every one of them. I'd be happy to if that was scriptural, but it's not, because in the New Covenant, we don't do that. So like a New Testament prophet would not have the same ministry that Elijah had, where bring me all the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth and then kill them all. There's New Testament gifts. There's New Testament gifts of this operation of the Holy Ghost that wasn't in the Old Testament. There's no tongues in the Old Testament. There's no interpretation of tongues in the Old Testament. That was added. Even Jesus, because he hadn't opened up the covenant yet. People say only Jesus operated in all nine gifts of the Spirit. No, he never spoke in tongues and he never interpreted tongues. Hey, Marie in Wyoming. He ascended on high, led captivity captive, and write it down, he gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it also that he descended first in the lower parts of the earth? That's when he went and took the keys from the devil. Continue. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. 11. Good morning, Jeff. And he gave, here's the gifts that he gave. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. That's the fivefold ministry gifts. Well, pastors and teachers is actually the same thing in that, no, it's not, because the Bible says in Acts 13, there were some that were prophets and teachers. So it doesn't mention any pastors. There was a company of prophets and teachers together. So if you're called into full-time ministry, your ministry is going to flow into one of those five. I would say that you don't start out as an apostle. You know, if you're 21, I'm apostle so-and-so. I don't know. I don't think so. You can graduate gifts. While we're teaching on the ministry gifts, and if you would grab the graphic, Gifts and Ministries of the Holy Spirit from Lester Summerall, we'll make that the book that we give away today. You can keep that scripture up, or while you're looking, you can't. So what you're doing is going to flow into these five ministry gifts. Apostle, which I would say that's something you graduate to. Paul did not start off as the Apostle Paul. He was of the company of prophets and teachers. So he was a prophet or a teacher or both. Apostle, prophet, evangelist. In my opinion, I feel like my Uncle Ted began as an evangelist and finished as a prophet. They're in order. Apostles, number one. Prophets, number two. Evangelists, pastor, teacher. And they're in order of strength. That's why apostles are the top. 12, what were they given for? For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. So whatever one of those five you're in, you're going to be used in those three areas. The perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, which what I would say, that's why it doesn't say like they'll win souls, because that's part of the work of the ministry. They'll disciple. You know, no gift, it's like, well, we don't really see a lot of people saved in our meetings because I have more of a prophetic ministry. No, everybody's called to win the lost. There's no ministry gift that's exempt from winning the lost. Every ministry, think of this. I started off as a straight up evangelist, but then as I follow the leading of the Spirit, these broadcasts came as part of the work of the ministry to help disciple the people that get saved in the meetings. Michael said, Jonathan, what's your take on kingly versus priestly ministry gifts? I don't know. That's like new stuff people say. I believe in apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I don't see any new covenant teaching about kingly ministry gifts or priestly ministry gifts. It's telling you specifically that this is what it is. And then you get screwed up if you say, I have more of like a prophetic worship ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I'm a missionary. What does that mean? It's not 1810 and you're sailing on a boat never to see your family again. If you're a missionary, you're going to be one of these five things in another country that they branded a missionary. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Hello, Christopher in Washington. So I want to teach. I can't. Okay. I'd love to hear the definition of the apostle. You want to see it in person? Enoch Adeboye, David Oyedepo, among others. And an apostle can bounce in and out of all the gifts like Paul did, because there's a time when they go to a place like Paul, when he went to Ephesus, he's the first one in. He did a evangelistic work. He taught the disciples. He raised up a church. Apostles birth churches like breathing out. Deborah said, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was watching online Revival Washington Night 5 and got a message from a person stating they were a pastor named Kim Tillman asking me to connect with you on Telegram at Jonathan101. It's a scam. I'm not on Telegram. Don't be easily misled by people. Have you ever heard me mention a Kim Tillman? I don't privately contact people. You would never, ever get a message like that from me or anybody in my ministry. That's an apostle. Lester Summerall was an apostle. An apostle is usually going to have a Bible college come out of their ministry. Not. I don't mean where students train one day a week from that school. I'm talking about like where students are attracted in people. They draw people. That it's a fathering gift. It's a church planting gift. Prophet, watch my Uncle Ted operate. You're welcome, Deborah. Anybody that privately contacts you on my behalf is not for me. Unless it's a call from Revival Today asking how you're doing to pray for you. That's different. But I'm saying like nobody's going to have you privately download an app and contact Jonathan101 on Telegram. I mean, come on. Prophet, pastor, people know pastor. I'm skipping evangelist because I'm going to take the whole day on it. pastor people would be familiar with, because most denominations and movements now have made everything pastor. I would get introduced for 20 years as Pastor Jonathan. I had no church. There's no room for apostle, no room for prophet, no room for evangelist. Everybody's pastor, youth pastor, assistant pastor. And that's one of the reasons the church is screwed up a little bit. Because everything's not pastor. And if your church doesn't have in any of the these gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints and the building up of the church. So if you only have in, so you have pastors that then will have more pastors preach. I'm going to be out. How many like Pastor Todd? He's going to be coming in from 2 hours away. He'll be in next Sunday while I'm on vacation. So all most churches have ever heard is a pastor. I am now a pastor. I'm not knocking pastors, but it's one of five gifts. If all you hear, if all you sit under is one gift, then the best you can be is one-fifth perfected. There's five gifts, and people need to receive from all of them. What was I going to tell you? Oh yeah, last week I told you, if you're watching the meetings, all I ate from Monday night on was, might have been Tuesday. No, it was Monday night on. From Monday night on, all I had were cheese steaks at a place called Fat Sal's. I had one for lunch and one for dinner, sometimes two. Now, if I did that week after week, I would develop scurvy. That's what sailors used to get. They'd only have meat and cheese, and they didn't have any fruit or anything. And then this week, I've only been having salmon pretty much the whole week. That's fine for a week. But even a good food like salmon, if I only ate that, I would probably get vitamin deficiencies in another area. Maybe scurvy. I don't know what you would get. Somebody that's a nutritionist could tell me what I'd get if I only had salmon. So it's the same way in a church. If they only give you one kind of food and everything's pastor, teacher, just pastor, just teacher, no evangelist, no prophet, no, there's no apostle, you know, they're just, it's funny how these guys have mentorship programs to basically take the place of an apostle. And you pay whatever you pay a month, $1,000 a month, to be under them. And then you hear the guy say, or they'll post pictures together. This guy's like a father to me. Yeah, quit paying your $1,000 a month and see how much of a father he is to you. He won't talk to you anymore. So they've exchanged things that aren't in the Bible. And that's part of the reason why the church isn't functioning like it did in the book of Acts yet. But God's doing away with those things. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So what happens is, Brad said, you need all five ministries in Christian life. Absolutely. God gave all five for the perfecting of the church. So you'll miss an element. And you know what I thought? When we had our church, without trying, when we started Revival Teddy Church in Pittsburgh, I had in all five offices without trying to. I didn't think of it till after. Apostle, Rodney Howard Brown, Dag Haywood Mills. Multiple churches under them, Bible school, multinational reach. Prophet, my Uncle Ted. Evangelist, my father. Pastor, James Morocco, who you could also maybe put as an apostle too. He has 500 churches under him. Pastor, teacher, Jerry Savelle. So in 1 year, we had all five. Look what happened to the church. Look how words were released. God's going to give you power to fill this dome. This building 107 is too small. You'll be out of here soon. See, when you have in actual ministry gifts instead of traveling guest speakers, Ezra said, the church I was in, taught that apostles stopped because they were defined as people who saw Jesus physically and therefore no need for them today. Can you share your thoughts? Well, then Paul's out. Paul's not an apostle then. I was not with those. He said, I was like one born out of season. The same, here's how I'll answer it. The same argument people use to say that apostles died out or prophets died out is the same argument they use to say the gifts of the Spirit died out. So if you take that line of thinking, then it's funny how there's people that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but then they'll use cessationist arguments for apostle and prophet. Where in the Bible does it say God gave these gifts for the perfecting of the church? Has the church been perfected? No. So as long as the church is here, those gifts will be in operation. People just do away with things they don't like. The West Texas District of the Assemblies of God ordained people as prophets up until a few decades ago. Now they're done with apostle, they're done with prophet. They closed down the National Office of the Evangelist. Thankfully, I heard they opened it back up recently. And then they'll do away with pastor. What does a church need a pastor who lives off the people's offerings? You know, why don't we just, we could have a pulpit committee. I mean, there's already that attitude in the church. Anything that guy does, I can do. We have these two business guys that go to our church. One of them has a podcast. We'll make them the campus directors. Zero call into ministry. Have to shut down the one guy's campus because they're not ministers. And I'm going to tell you, I have a Bible school. It would do me well to teach that everybody should be in the ministry because it would grow my school. You shouldn't go into the ministry if you're not called into the ministry. And there's a lot of people that think they're called into the ministry that they're not. They're frustrated business people. And they want to go into ministry because they're tired of their business. And because as you get older, you want to do things that affect eternity. They misinterpret that for a call to ministry. And it's not. You should take your business to the $100 million level. I'm glad the several people that have helped our ministry out with land and property didn't decide to become assistant pastors. They brought their businesses to $100 million and billion-dollar levels and built the kingdom of God, which is what you should do. God calls you to the ministry in your youth. The exception to that would be in a Smith Wigglesworth type situation. If you got saved later in life and baptized in the Holy Ghost, but then you would go right into it. But somebody's been a Christian 25 years and just kind of bored and getting ready to retire. You know, and we went on a missions trip to Africa, and Africa's always kind of been on my heart. Whatever. You're not a minister. And you're going to have a mediocre, ineffectual ministry. Now, most people won't tell you that, but I'm telling you that. You should stick with the thing God told you to do. That's why we limit our school to age 35, and I probably should lower it to 30. Or you run the risk of ending up with like washouts. They're not called into ministry. They're some 58-year-old man. I want to come to Bible school. Where's your wife? Where's your children? I actually don't want the answer to the question. I have questions. Why are you free to just traipse around at 58? That's true, Judah Lee. Judah Lee said you can't biblically support the doctrines that apostles and healing aren't for today. You don't see many older people go to Bible college and come out and start a church. You know, when I'm talking about the ministry, I'm talking about you should have a church with a roof on it and like a door and a sanctuary, not like a living room with two ladies with banners and there's six people sitting. Something's wrong. Church. It should be like a functional, stable. The church I'm preaching at here was started. I met one of the ladies who helped start it. Out of a revival meeting, they launched a second church. And it's still here, 60, 70 years later, with hundreds of people. That a church should have hundreds of people minimum. Obviously, you have to have a beginning place. I'm not shaming anybody that started a church like 2 years ago, but you should break 100 quick. Churches should have people. Now, these little garage, you know, and if you're called in the ministry, settle down and figure out which gift you are and do it. We have like a prophetic prayer meeting on the third Thursday. We meet in our living room. We have like a, you're not a ministry. You're like somebody that won't plug into a church is what you are. You're somebody that won't. Who do you have? Who's your credentials with? We don't really, do you need that? You're an unsubmitted Christian who has enough charisma to attract six or seven people to you and get something going, and it goes to nothing. That's why Paul told Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. There should be proofs that you're in the ministry. There should be proof that you're an evangelist, proof that you're a pastor. That's right, Brad. I didn't have to deal with that much in Pittsburgh. Texas, everybody thinks they have a ministry. And they're actually just unsubmitted people. They don't have any. I have an apostle over me. I am ordained under Rodney Howard Brown. As much as I seem like a freewheeling maverick, if you come up to me and say, who's your overseer? You know, these denominations are so dead. I've never really met anybody that I felt like should be. You know, no, I don't have that. I actually have somebody that's over me that I listen to and am submitted to. You know, if you heard, like I'm 43, in 5 years I'll be 48. If you heard me at 48 say, you know what? I've always wanted to have like a boating company in Arizona. I love it out there. And an opportunity has been given to me to take over a resort and run boating expeditions on Lake Powell. And it'll bring millions of dollars into the kingdom. So I'm kind of stepping aside from Revival Today Church and Pittsburgh and Fort Worth. And I'm not going to really travel as much because I feel to dedicate to that. 100% of you would go, man, I think, why, man, that's a shame. Why is he doing that? He should stay. He's not, yeah, that's a great opportunity, but he should stay in his thing. I have the same feeling when I hear somebody in business start getting interested at 50 in the ministry. You should buckle down and take your thing to the next level. Touchstone 3:4-5. John the Baptist was unsubmitted. Yeah, but Jesus wasn't. Jesus was baptized by John and came under him. To the point that John was like, there's no way I'm baptizing you. You're over me. And he said, I have to do all things that are lawful. So if you want to take John the Baptist, who's not a new covenant minister, and use him as your example, knock yourself out. Touchstone 3:4-5. I actually know what I'm talking about. You know, if you followed our ministry, I have a little one. And it's grown because I know the principles of the Bible when it comes to ministry. As much as it seems like I'm a freewheeling maverick who shoots his mouth off, I know the rules and the laws of ministry. When that guy kicked me out of his church in South Carolina, did you ever hear me mention him by name or defend myself or take any shots at him? Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. So I know the rules. Touchstone 3:4-5, 52 years living for Jesus. No one cares. You continuing to breathe while going to church doesn't really matter. Years doing something doesn't matter. We're going to be rewarded. Remember this. Everybody's going to present their works before the Lord to be and be rewarded for their works, not their time of service. I've been in ministry 40 years. Doing what? I've never heard of you. And 40 years in evangelism, preaching three meetings a month. I see people's schedules, you know. I'm not talking about young people starting out. We're believing for revival. Preaching, May 7th, May 14th, May 17th. Yeah, don't wear yourself out. Three meetings in 30 days. I'm not talking if you're 80 or 85, you know. So somebody that preaches three times a month that's been in the ministry for 40 years is a bit different than somebody like Jesse Duplantis, who preaches five or six times a week for 40 years. It's very different. After I comment on this, I'm going to have that touchstone 345 idiot blocked. The fivefold wants submission, and churches are submitted and lazy. Anytime you make blanket sweeping statements about the church that are negative, you're on a road that leads to a problem. I did do a video, if you remember, about Carl Lentz in 2020, May 2020. I said he won't be in the ministry much longer because he said, and I'm quoting, churches are the most racist institution on planet Earth. That's the bride of Christ. So when you hear people talk like that, if you ever allow the devil to get you so jaded against the church, you know, this Touchstone 345 guy, what do you know about the church? What have you been to? Three? I'd like to know where you live in some little town. All churches are lazy. No churches are winning the lost. Yeah, I have a church that wins the lost. I know other churches that are doing the same thing. This guy in Milton, Washington, Pastor Greg Parsons, he's not lazy. His staff was going on a second week. That's your problem. You're projecting your problems on other people. Thanks, Brad, for giving me a chance. Good morning, Jonathan. On the reverse side, there's pastors who have pastored for decades and are now becoming involved in politics. What are your thoughts? Generally a mistake. That came out later, Brandon. Before any of that came out, as soon as people start speaking against the church, there's a protection and a grace that lifts off their life. And, okay, since we're talking about evangelists, let's go into the actual thing now. You need to guard against that as an evangelist. These churches don't win the lost. And don't be an evangelist. If you want to have a successful ministry, be an evangelist that makes yourself a friend of the church and not an enemy of the church. Me against churches. That's a good thing you wrote, Greg, on the app. Because churches are and pastors are generally combative towards evangelists, R.W. Schambach said, there's always been a dynamic tension between pastors and evangelists. And I don't know why that is, but there always has been, including in the Bible. Go to 3 John. I think it's 3 John. It might be 2 John. Third John, verse 5. Dear friend, you're being faithful to God when you care for traveling ministers who pass through, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such leaders in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them, so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I'll report some of the things he's doing and the evil accusations he's making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them, and when they do, he puts them out of the church. You know, I've heard it on the road, any evangelists that are watching, They've heard it. The same spirit. He won't have in, he won't welcome any traveling church ministers. He won't support any traveling ministers. And if he finds out anybody in his congregation is doing it, he takes steps to make sure it stops. That never went away. I was preaching in Namibia, and I was preaching with other, there were other American preachers there and some South Africans. And one of the pastors, when he found out I was an evangelist, spoke up. I don't believe evangelists should have their own ministry. I believe all evangelists should function out of the local church. So I said, so you believe that Billy Graham lived his entire life outside of the will of God? Because he wasn't the outreach pastor for a local church in North Carolina or Minnesota? I never thought of that. Yeah, that's the difference between me and you. I try to think of things before I just start spouting off opinions. And they have, there's a pressure against evangelists. If you want to go into evangelism, so like if you want to be a pastor, there's a format for it. There's places to send your resume to and get voted in and have a salary. If you go into evangelism, there's a gift of faith element to be an evangelist, to forge your own way. And people try to pull you into safety, but an evangelist, Philip left the church in Jerusalem, went to Samaria where there was no church and preached Christ to them. I'll tell you one of the benefits of what happened this week in Washington is going to a place as an evangelist where there hasn't been any evangelists come. I was telling off air, I was telling people of a church that I like. I like the pastor and I know him. I've never been there to preach. He's never invited me to preach, but if he did, I wouldn't go. And it's not, there's nothing wrong with the church and there's nothing wrong with him, but they have in like 9 guest speakers a year. So it gets burned over. You can't harvest a field every 3 weeks. You got to let it breathe and replant and new people have to come in. So when you go to a church that has in speakers all the time, it's what you look forward to as a young evangelist, that one day a big church is going to have you in, and then those can be the worst meetings you've ever had. And then you go somewhere where no one goes, and it's like dumping water on dry ground. It's like opening, it's like taking the top off an all-you-can-eat buffet in a room full of starving people. Whereas when you go to some churches, it's like opening up the top of the continental breakfast scrambled eggs to a room full of people that just had Thanksgiving dinner. Nah, I'm good. I'm actually very full. They're full. They're full in the spirit. They're fat and happy. Now I've already eaten plenty. All right, what does this guy have? That's nice. I'll take a taste. You know, when you're not hungry, you might take a taste. And that's where you go to some churches. There may be. I'll check you out for 15 minutes, see if I like what you're saying. Maybe I'll take a taste. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. Like that. But then when you go someplace where people haven't been, it's actually challenging to preach in Texas and Florida. And then you go to like Iowa, Nebraska, Washington, LA, any places where people don't go much, Boston, you can have a blowout meeting. So I'm just, if you are an evangelist, that's something to tuck away. Evangelists, they're in the Bible. They don't funk, it's not the outreach pastor. It's an evangelist. Evangelism. What does an evangelist do? Well, you've seen there's two elements to an evangelist's ministry. The Festival of Life, Steel City Fest, straight up crusade element. Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ to people who had never heard Christ before. But that's not the only element, because if you can, you operate outside of churches, but if you disconnect as an evangelist from the church, it's going to hurt your life and ministry. And if evangelists aren't careful, they do that. These churches don't win anybody to Christ. These pastors are all dead. They're all lukewarm. If you start doing that, and you start getting a me against the church attitude as an evangelist, it's going to ruin your ministry. You can't be bitter towards sinners. You can't be bitter towards pastors. You can't be bitter towards God. You can't be bitter towards churches. You can't have, and you will have them. You will run into some diatrophies in evangelism that steal from your offering, that take steps to discourage you during and after the meeting. If you allow that to get in your spirit, you know, these pastors, they don't give any money and they don't pay, you know, then and you start getting and start preaching from that perspective where when they give you the mic, it's a rebuke against pastors and churches. And it's why America's dead and the church needs to be reformed. You know, there needs to be a shaking that comes on and everything's negative. It's going to wreck your ministry. If you allow anything to take your joy, it takes your strength and it takes the attractiveness off your life. Your life has to be attractive to draw crowds. People have to want who, not just Jesus. They need to not just want what you have. They need to want you. You need to be attractive. Joy is attractive. Bitterness and, you know, things I've been through on the road, I won't even get into it. Nobody likes that. People have already had a hard day. They don't need you vomiting your bad stories on them. That'll wreck your ministry. So you have to be careful when you run into Diotrephes type people on the road, never to let it get in your spirit. Shake the dust off your feet and be done with it. I'm not carrying South Carolina with me the rest of the year. Some of these churches don't even want revival. No, I reacted right and actually springboarded our ministry. You know, where we are a year later from when I got kicked out of the church in South Carolina isn't even comparable to where I'm glad that happened. Write it down. Keep a good spirit. Billy Graham had a great spirit. R.W. Schambach had a great, they were happy people. They made the crowd laugh. Jesse Duplantis, who's been persecuted more than him? He's got a great spirit. He lifts the crowd up. You nailed it, John. John that asked the question on the app, your answer is correct. You answered your own question when you typed it out. You answered it right. So as an evangelist, you don't just reach the lost. You also have, along with every other ministry gift, there's a building up of the church and the saints element to your ministry. So we do both. We had Easter Fest, Straight Up Crusade, Steel City Fest. I'm working on an overseas crusade right now in Ghana. But then there's another element where you build believers up. Now, you've seen that this week. See, if you're not careful as an evangelist, if you don't know there's both those sides to your ministry, then when you get in church meetings, a lot of evangelists just beat people up about not winning the lost. You sit here in comfort while people are dying and going to hell. It's like, hey, what do you want me to do? I'm 78. You know, remember that. If you're going to come in and beat everybody up for not winning the lost and being missionaries, just remember there's like 81-year-olds there on oxygen. They need healed. They're sick. There's people with cancer. There's people in wheelchairs. So you should also have an element where you build up. Furthermore, that's how people will get called into the ministry. Man, I like, you know, there's people this week that'll go into the ministry for the rest of their life. Because I like Jonathan. I like what he does. I want to do that. So you inspire people into ministry. You don't scold people into ministry. Nobody's going to go to Central Africa Republic for 40 years because somebody made him feel bad one night. We've endured a lot here, but one day we had a visiting speaker and he told us what a shame it is that all of us aren't overseas preaching the gospel. So I'm here. No. There has to be ministry is a fire people catch from your life. There's that element to evangelism. You know, a lot of people got called into the ministry out of my dad's evangelistic ministry. Back the school that he's the president of now was Zion. He funneled tons of students into that school. I mean, my class, when I went to Bible school, had 163 kids in it. Many of them were from his revival meetings. It's one of the things that happened from good evangelistic church meetings is kids come to the altar and get on fire for God. Philip the evangelist, interesting that all four of his daughters were in the ministry. Evangelists carry something that inspire people into ministry. Kayla said that happened to me. You came to a little church in Dayton, Ohio. I felt a call on my life and I was really encouraged. And then you gave me a Bible school scholarship to Tampa. Yeah, I did that for a long time. Up until we started ours, and I did that after talking to Pastor Rodney. Kristen said when churches don't have evangelists, you end up with 58-year-old youth pastors. That's true. Because it stagnates. Evangelists breathe fresh air into the place, a good one. The pastor, you know, you've heard me tell that story that that older pastor said to me on the way into the sanctuary when we were in a week of meetings. If I had a guy like you around, I probably could preach till I was 85. You know, what was he feeling? He was feeling the wind of heaven. An evangelist should bring a refreshing. What happened when Philip finished preaching in Samaria? There was great joy in the city. Joy. New Testament evangelists, please write this down. New Testament evangelists bring joy. There's a guy in downtown Seattle yelling at everybody every day with a bullhorn. God will destroy this place with fire. If you don't repent, you'll burn in hell. All that's true. He's not converting anybody. But I'm sure in his mind, he's been I'm faithful to go down there every day. God doesn't just call for faithfulness. He calls for fruitfulness. So if there's no fruit, something's wrong. Bring joy. People should be happy when the meeting is when the meeting's over. Evangelism. When doors open up for you, don't try to make the meeting into what you think it should be. Figure out in the spirit why God has you there. Sometimes it's to win the lost. You'll have meetings in church where there's a supernatural amount of people coming to Christ in the meeting. You'll have other evangelistic meetings where there's not as many people coming to Christ, but there's a lot of people being baptized in the Holy Ghost and called into ministry. So flow with it. Don't search. I got to be honest. I haven't seen our last meeting. We had 117 people receive Christ. That this week we're sitting at 11. You know, maybe people need to get on the phone. Nah, flow with it. Why does God have you there? Every meeting has its own purpose. Sometimes, as an evangelist, you're not there to encourage. You're not there to, the main purpose of the meeting isn't to win the lost. The main purpose of the meeting isn't to have people call into the ministry. Sometimes the main purpose of that meeting is to encourage the pastor. What if God sent you to a church and that pastor had already told his wife, you know what, let's make this our last year and then I'm probably going to resign and go back into automotive manufacturing or whatever. He's burnt out. And then you come in and he gets lit on fire. And then the wife gets touched or the wife was sick and she gets healed. And now they have like a fresh wind for the ministry. People will still get saved. But if that was all you did in that meeting, and there's been a lot of meetings where I knew the main reason I was there was to encourage the pastor. I would spend more time with him than I normally would. Pastors can get isolated. If you're a pastor, that's why we have something like What No Eye Has Seen. You need to get out You need to get out of your state. You need to see more than your state. It helps to see the whole world. It helps to see all of America as much as you can. You know, you see people on social media, America is doomed. Let me guess, you live in New York. Let me guess, you live in California. You know, if I lived where you lived, I would feel that way too. But then if you went and traveled to an hour outside of Fort Worth, Texas in any direction, you'd go like, you know what? I think Jesus lives in America. This place is great. Came to Pennsylvania. You know, the economy is failing in America. We're on the brink of depression. Let me guess. You live in some like old factory town in Ohio that doesn't have anything. Pittsburgh's booming. I can't remember the two things that Donald's told me they're building there right now. You go to Las Vegas, you know? Yeah, it's a huge country. There are parts that it's like hell on earth. And there's other parts of America that are like heaven on earth. You're not going to see any crime or anybody beaten or anything. Number three, evangelists, evangelism, churches. Churches should have an evangelist, and they should be careful which evangelist they have in. Every stinker that you have in makes it harder on the next guy. Have in good evangelists. Don't have in bad speakers. It deadens people's expectations. If you feel bad for your friend from Bible school that's having a hard time financially, then just send him an offering. Don't torture the people with his ministry. Wow. Thanks, Nadia. I'll tell you what, Nadia, you say I need your books. If you call right now, tell them that I said on the broadcast to give you, to send you one of each of my books, and they'll do it. Hey, Amber. Good to see you. You need to call into ministry to be in the ministry. You can't go into ministry because you don't really want to raise your kids. You can't go into ministry because you don't like working a job. Or you don't like the job you're working. That's true. That's true what Andre wrote. Some people are always busy rebuking the goats when the sheep are starving. Many people love God and are committed to serve. That's right. That's an excellent thing you wrote. If you're an evangelist, focus on who's getting it, not on who's not getting it. Don't take some grievance you have into the pulpit. You know, there's these Calvinists that people don't know about Calvinism. People don't care about Calvinism. I know about Calvinism and don't care about it. Don't take some reformed Arminianism Bible school debate into the pulpit. People need help. You know what's interesting? And I'm not against James River Church by any means. But I'd like to know what the sword swallower charges. And all those guys that did feats of strength, and they're happy to pay it. But then, and maybe they would. You know, it's like churches are happy to pay money for taco trucks and coffee trucks and fireworks and lasers. And they won't give half that money if that comes in an offering for an actual minister. They recoil. It's weird. It's weird what has happened. But I can see it turning back around. Evangelists, evangelism, churches, pastors. I've been a pastor now for just over 2 years. Wow. Michelle said, "Hi, Jonathan. My family and I have been blessed to see you all week at Faith Family, and my son accepted God as his Lord and Savior Wednesday night, and I just praise God, and I'm so excited for another week. Well, you made my day. This is a book I'm coming out with, 7 Reasons Your Church Will Never Have Revival, a message to pastors. So this is for pastors. This sounds like a discouraging thing, but my dad told me, I don't know if he'd want me sharing this or not, but I've never let that stop me in the past. He told me the main thing you're going to battle, Jonathan, in the ministry is not demons or wicked people. It's going to be pastors. Because they think they want revival, but they don't. And they actually have their church set up not to have one. So because God is in the midst of sending a revival to America, this is to make sure you don't fall into that group. 7 reasons your church will never have revival, a message to pastors. 1, no understanding that there's supposed to be life and growth and uprooting. And that revival is a harvest from seed sown. You're never going to have a revival in your church if you think churches aren't supposed to grow. That you take a church of 200, make sure it doesn't dip too low, just maintain it, make sure service gets out on time. That's why guys aren't interested in having in an evangelist. If your goal is to be out at 8, have a 7 o'clock service and be home at 8:30, you don't want some guy coming in there blowing it up. If your goal is to keep everybody happy, you don't want a minister in that's going to say things that offend. And people rarely tell the real reason they're offended. I didn't like his attitude. I felt like he was cocky. No, you have a live-in girlfriend. And when he got to the part about sexual immorality, you decided you were not going to get married together. You were going to stay living in sin. So then you came up with another reason. I don't like it. You know, I just want you to know, Pastor, that we won't be coming the rest of the week. That's the reason. The fact that you won't stop drinking doesn't make the guest speaker a bad guest speaker. I feel like he's kind of like a cult, you know. No, you like to drink. And when he got to the part on alcohol, you decided to make up a reason why you don't receive from his ministry. So you're never going to have an evangelist. When Paul went to Ephesians or to Ephesus doing the work of an evangelist, the Bible says there was a split after the first 3 months, and he took the believers that revivals cause a bowel movement at the church. You're rarely going to have a move of God hit a church and not have 2 or 3 families, and then you'll find out later why they left. Oh, that guy that was a pillar of my church had a mistress in Indiana. Oh, you didn't know that. So you only know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. People don't want to let go of things that they need to let go of, and then they'll blame the pastor or the evangelist or the, I don't like these meetings. And you know why? So because of that, a lot of pastors, they focus on what they lose rather than what they gain. There's pastors that could have 67 new people saved, but if a family left the church, they'd say the Johnson family, you know, left over those meetings. So they just, if you're focused like that, you're never going to have a revival. You're going to lose people. I do it on purpose. When I have Rodney Howard Brown in, anybody that storms out of my church, I want them gone. Same with Duplantis. I don't like prosperity. Then go, please don't come to my church. We believe in it. We have the buildings and acreage to prove it, and the airplane and everything else, and the stress-free ministry. So we don't need you goofing it up. Go find a church where they have $4 a plate hot dog dinners or whatever that'll make you more comfortable. Where they don't talk about the tithe and they have rummage sales. 2, 7 reasons your church will never have a revival, a message to pastors. You don't know what revival is and can't recognize it. This pastor did. Pastor Greg Parsons in Milton, Washington. I feel like, I know you said you have to go next week, but what do you, you know, this is on Wednesday. What do you think of, you know, what would it take for you to stay? Or you want to come back? You know, he saw something special is happening. He's getting good calls at the office. Like that lady that testified, my son got saved. That's a big deal. I can't even imagine. You imagine Camila, like at 14, just like turning her heart from God, how much that would pain me. And then to then see him come back and come to the altar. That's awesome. And that's one. This pastor recognized it. Last year, I had a two-week meeting before South Carolina in Parkersburg, West Virginia. He recognized it. It's the extended meeting thing can be difficult to approach, and I'm going to get to that part. Because sometimes the pastor doesn't extend the meeting because he thinks you're busy. But then you don't want to bring it up like you're some freeloading, you know, because you don't know. Maybe the guy's just being nice and he's really looking forward to you like leaving on Friday. So the last thing you want to do is bring up another week. That's what happened in Parkersburg. I thought this guy maybe he doesn't like me that much. He's like happy with the week. And then he brought it up the one day. And the reason it took him so long to bring it up is he over evaluated how big of a ministry I have. I know you're on TV and you have the church. He thought I couldn't stay. So see, that's why I said yesterday, most things can be solved with one conversation. So it's worth it to just bring it up. I had the best conversation with my wife this morning because I haven't been home that much and I don't like that. And it does weigh on my mind about my family, the church in Pittsburgh, the church in Fort Worth, and the evangelistic ministry. I feel those things, and I make sure nothing's out of balance. So two Saturdays ago, there was a death at our church, and I was with that family that Saturday, among other things. There was a seniors brunch in the morning. I had something in the afternoon, and then I spent time with that family. So I never saw her on Saturday, and I had to leave Sunday directly after church to go to California. So I was home for a day and a half. We barely saw each other. Last Saturday, that was the funeral, and my family was in, and we ran all day, and we didn't really see each other much. We had dinner with people, but barely spent any time together, barely spent any time with Camila. So Adalys was like sad I was leaving. She normally doesn't do that. She doesn't express any kind of like emotion that way. We've been doing this for 17 years. She just sat by the couch and said like, I thought you were only going to like go out 2 weeks a month. So she doesn't. I said, listen, I'm out this week. I'll be home Saturday and then I'm home for 2 weeks. So just give me one more week and I'll make up for lost time. And then this one started growing, which obviously you don't want to be. It puts you in a weird position where you're like half rooting. It's almost like when I bought a call on wheat prices back during when Russia invaded Ukraine, because they said the Ukraine supplies like 20% of the world's wheat. So when Russia invaded and they went to war, it was going to affect the wheat supply and cause it to go up in price. So it puts you in a weird position when you do a call option, because you're actually rooting for worldwide famine. So, you know, it puts you in the weird position of them saying there's not enough grain for everyone to eat. And you go, excellent. Well, in this case, it's almost like you're hoping you have kind of a dud meeting. Like if the crowd went to like half, it's like, all right, good. I'm going home. I'll go home on Friday. But then the meeting started growing and that's what I told the pastor. Okay, if it's full, we'll end it. But if it's jammed in the lobby, then we'll, and then we go and there's people in the lobby. There are people standing in the rain at 5:30, they told me. So ministry comes first. So then I called Adalys this morning thinking she was going to be like ticked, and she wasn't. She was very happy. She said, I'm actually glad you're not home, because the house is a complete mess. I'm packing. She said, I'd be happy if you just stayed gone till I'm settled in the new house. And she's like, there's so much work that has to be done. I'm not home anyway. And she's like, we have that 2 week vacation coming up. You'll be home next week or whatever. It's totally fine. I'm actually glad you're out. I've been watching the meetings. I'm glad it's gone. So that set me at ease because I thought she didn't feel that way. So it's actually perfect. Even like the timing of that house being given to us is perfect, because she's completely occupied packing up our house and moving to another house and picking out furniture. She picked out her car. So it's good. I'm literally thinking of when we go away for 2 weeks in the summer, leaving my phone home. Because the last two times I've gone out, stuff's happened where I got calls and it was like DEFCON 5 and it wasn't much of a vacation. It was, but it wasn't. What car did she get? I'll let her tell you if she wants to. She's getting hers wrapped, but black. She's getting a black car and getting it wrapped black. I don't know. Not my thing. Not up to me. I'm also getting a wrap on my vehicle, but it ain't black. It's crazy. You know, there's a that lady, Prophet Jolynn Whitaker, if you ever see her, she sent me a direct message on Twitter early in the year. It might have been right after prayer and fasting. And said, I see you getting your dream house this year. And then the Lord showed me in a dream that you're going to get a very odd looking vehicle. And I had just picked out, this wrap that's like insane. So she nailed it. Good to see Midbar back on. If a degree from a college gives you the confidence you need to march for the Lord, then go and do that. Number three. So remember that if you're a pastor, would you be able to recognize revival if it came? I've been in meetings. I'm sure there's some evangelists watching this, where the whole sanctuary was packed. The altar was packed. I'm not saying the altar has been packed in these meetings this week, but I'm talking about where it was like three people deep at the altar with people getting saved. Although the salvations have been special here, where people just laid on the altar crying and repenting. It's been powerful. But I'm talking like more packed than this meeting, and this meeting's packed, with altars more full than this meeting, and I have to listen to the pastor every night as it's happening to go, I'm just believing God's going to send a revival to this church one day. It's like, but what do you want? What would happen where you thought, where you felt like it was a revival? So you should think about that as a pastor. You're believing for a revival to come to your church. What do you feel like that would practically look like? Where thousands of people are coming in. Well, your church seats 120 people, so thousands of people aren't coming in. So it's going to be in the beginning stage, at the level your church is at. And then when it comes, you better run with it. Because as much as you would think, because I've done this before, you know what? I got a softball tournament coming up with my daughter. So let's reschedule in 3 months. You come back and it's gone. The momentum's gone. I don't know what happened. Something happened. Maybe the devil had enough time. See, there is a thing where you hit. The devil doesn't know the future or anything. So sometimes when these things bust loose, hell's on the back foot. Then if you give them 3 months to regroup and put division in the church, somebody bring a book from John MacArthur about a strange fire, then you come back and you wonder, why is 40% of the crowd now like this? So when it hits, you should pull the plug on everything and run with it. Pastor Greg did. I'm sure my story that I just shared, I'm sure he has similar stories. I know his daughter finishes college on Friday. I'm sure they had plans. It takes special people to have revival. It takes a special evangelist, and it takes a special pastor. Seven reasons your church won't have revival, a message to pastors. Number three, you actually couldn't have a revival because of what you've tolerated. Your board, your leadership, You know, you have a youth pastor that doesn't believe in falling under the power. You have an assistant pastor that doesn't like speaking in tongues. So a revival would actually destroy your church more than it would build it. If you want a revival at your church, you need to have staff, everybody, on your page. You know, in 2020, I heard a lot of pastors say, you know, we wanted to stay open, but my board didn't, or we had staff members that said, I'm not coming unless you enforce masks. Well, what does that reveal? It reveals that you allowed a mixture under your leadership. Everybody's not on your page. You know what's interesting? We didn't have one staff member that said that got vaccinated at Revival Today, or, and that was what I didn't have any policy on that. They just, nobody said, listen, I'm not coming to work until these case rates go down. Nobody, because we're all on the same page. How can two walk together unless they agree? You have to get in agreement with people. Number four, seven reasons your church will never have a revival, a message to pastors, because you choose guest speakers and not evangelists. And I dealt with that earlier. Somebody that travels and preaches is not an evangelist. An evangelist travels and preaches, but everybody that travels and preaches is not an evangelist. David Hogan is on Facebook and he just commented, you know, there's a guy in this meeting that met me in your meeting when you had me in 2017. He came from Washington down to Texas to help do hurricane relief, came to that meeting, and that's where he got impacted and he's here now. It's amazing how everything works together. I love you, Pastor David. Number five, you can't have revival as a pastor if you're a money control freak. If you're a modern day Diotrephes who's worried about how much is going to come in. You know the pastor I'm preaching for now? I didn't take an offering Sunday night, Monday night, or Tuesday night. And Wednesday said to me, would you please take an offering? He said, we have set aside from our church a large seed we'd like to give. It's been burning a hole in my pocket. So it takes that kind of pastor that's not worried. You can't be a worried type A lunatic and have a revival. There's a couple pastors I've done this to. They're so like OCD that like I'll take the salt shaker while we're eating and then just go like this and set it like just knock it down near them. And then the one guy went, why did you do that? I went, just because I knew you don't, it would bother you. You know, nothing wrong with that. But if you have to, there is a flow. I understand everybody can't be wired like me, and it's good everyone's not wired like me because the world economy would grind to a halt. It's good there's people like my brother-in-law Abel that are up at 4:45 and go to, you know, work and have a schedule and go to bed. I get it. But in the ministry, you have to be able to flow. Write this down in the comments and in your notes. God's people are tent people. God didn't have a schedule of when the pillar of fire moved or the cloud. When it moved, you moved. I really thank God for my dad and mom, you know, and raising me on the road in evangelism. I got, you know, it's like, let's see what the Lord does. Mom, can I go here in June? You can't say that right now because we don't know what's going to be happening. Basically, we're following the cloud and the pillar. And the leading of the Spirit is the modern. So if you have to be in bed at 9:00, you know, here's a thought. If your church goes into revival, let's say you have Rodney Howard Brown in and he did a five, like back in the day when he was doing multi-week meetings. If he did a five-week meeting and they were getting out at midnight, maybe don't have your staff come in at 9 a.m. and work till 5. Maybe just flow with it. Have them come in after lunch. Have them do half a day and tell them to please get twice as much done in that time. And let them enjoy the revival. Flow with revival. If you're a person who can't flow, you'll never have revival. Now, Jonathan, I know the church is packed and everything, and we would go on, but our church really isn't like equipped to handle the follow-up. Yeah, and it never will be. So just let the river overflow the bank. What has your follow-up program done up until now anyway? You know what I mean? Let it flow. Let the river flow. Let it overflow the bank. Let the cup. Hey, listen, we would love to have you anoint our head with oil, but our cup's starting to overflow. Let it overflow. That's part of revival is overflow. Overflow of finances, overflow of parking, overflow of people in the seats. It's in everything. That's one of the reasons I believe in prosperity. The anointing causes everything to overflow. People, cars and parking lots, everything. Why would it also not be money? Cat still working it. 53 years old, independent, love cats, had a feeling, can cook, vegan or not, vegan Latina. I've never heard of a vegan Latina. I'm sure there's a bunch in LA, but generally, I don't want to say a bunch of quasi-racist stuff. Number five, you're a money control freak. Number six, your staff hates church. Your church can't have a revival if your church staff hates being in church. Our staff's tired. Tell them to get jobs in the oil field so they can learn what it means to be tired. Everybody else works hard. Ministers should be, and you can't have a church where you can spot the six people on staff because they're the six most disinterested, resentful people of the meeting. Number seven, your church can't have revival if you hate the Holy Ghost. I don't believe in falling under the power. I don't like speaking in tongues. What do you like? What could the Holy Spirit do that you're okay with? Make people go like this? Hate the Holy Ghost. Your church has to be, I'm not talking about a rubber stamp for every goofy activity, but the meetings in the book of Acts, demons left their victims screaming as they left. Revivals aren't clean-cut meetings. I mean, even last night, started having people walking up and approaching the platform. And I mean, they're their own thing. And you can keep it decent in order. I did a good job of that last night with two different people approaching the platform at two different parts of the service. So you got to handle it. Evangelists, evangelism, churches, pastors, and extended meetings. So now we'll close with extended meetings. What is the benefit of an extended meeting with an evangelist? Not forcing one. It can cause 20 years of growth to take place in 3 weeks. Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, we went from 140 to 500 a night. Brian Tomes, if I could have him come on like quickly, if there was a way to do it. They had about 120, 140 on a Sunday. We went for 5 weeks. 327 new people from the area gave their life to the Lord. They had to build a new church. It's a good point, David. People are interesting, you know. Pastor David Hogan said, point number six, your staff enjoys sword licking. You know what's interesting is the same people that booked that, who it turned out he's not born again, and he's a current male stripper at gay go-go clubs. You're okay with booking him, but they would not have Rodney Howard Brown. Or they'll have him, but they won't have Jesse Duplantis. He believes in prosperity. Well, yes, he does. Tell you what he doesn't believe in. Doing dudes. People are interesting. What they don't like, what they won't approve of, and what they'll approve of. Extended meetings give people a chance when they get saved to bring more people. It starts a momentum. Acts 8, Acts 19. Paul stayed for 2 years. There was an explosion. In the beginning, actually, not much was happening. It took 2 years for something to start finally happening. And then when it did, it culminated in everybody burning their witchcraft books, and the name of the Lord was greatly honored. And then there was a riot in the city facilitated by the silversmith idol makers that had lost all their income. Totally flipped Ephesus to Christianity. Don't do it, Preacher Jay. Preacher Jay said, maybe I should learn sword swallowing. They have more open doors in America. Don't do it. Midbar. Flesh is a monster without a wise spiritual pilot in charge. God helps because he knows the story. I really feel like you're an AI chatbot at this point. I don't even think you're in a mental institution. I think it's like just computer-generated chat. I'll close with this. When it comes to revival, it's actually not so much about how to have one as how to just get out of the way. That's more of what it is. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. That river is always flowing. So there's things that block it that need removed. There's not only, oh, Lord, come, send the Spirit. There's nothing. He's already sent. According to the scripture, you're lived with him. Or he lives in you. You're one with him. So all this begging and pleading, like God's the one holding it back. We repent, Lord. We repent. I've already repented. I'm not living in sin. So it's God wanting to move, and decisions have been made in back rooms not to let him move. But praise God, we're seeing the opposite now. There's been a different momentum in the meetings, all of them this year. And this Washington one is very special. When I say getting out of the way, I don't mean not preaching. Or like, revival is not the Lord just coming into a church and touching people independently of people. Paul preached. Philip preached. Stretch forth your hand according to his mighty power that worketh in us. Nadia said, Jonathan, what's your favorite simple prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray I die with a bellyache. I mean, I don't know how long you've known my ministry. I don't really do like recital prayers. I just talk to the Lord. Thank you, Kathleen. Thanks for the nice words. So these are special meetings. And I thank God that, you know, he divinely connected me with Pastor Greg Parsons this week and all the guys from the, you know, from Pastor Mike Hammer in Dillsburg to Pastor Brian Tomes, everybody that's ever had the faith to extend the meeting. Hey, Michael from South Africa. So, here's the address of the church. Oh, you already have an extended graphic. Sunday to Wednesday, April 28th to May 1st. Normally go to Friday. I just feel to just do to Wednesday. Assuming my wife can get everything packed and moved. Otherwise, I might feel led to go Thursday and Friday. No, I'm just messing around. Milton Washington, 98354. I'm not saying this to like sell a meeting, I would suggest getting there a little early. Somebody said on YouTube, what are the different types of pride? Try to focus. We're not talking about that there. It's true. It's true, Michael. Oh, I know you. Your dad's Dion Hockey. He's a great evangelist. He has a really good reputation everywhere I go. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about him. So nice to have you on here. And you would know what I mean because I'm South Africa, of the place I've been, is the most standoffish to evangelists. You know, it's not, you know, I won't pick on South Africa. I mean, name me a major denomination that makes any room for evangelists. Even ones I like, movements I like. It'll kill your movement if you don't make room for evangelists. If you turn it all to pastor, then there's no intake valve for your Bible colleges. Oh, that's awesome, Michael. God bless you. I don't know about that, Preacher Jay. I'm late to the party, but it's nice to have you anyway. Heather. Jeremiah said, how do you let a pastor know you're not looking for selfish gain, but just wanting to accomplish your ministry? I don't know. Because a lot of people will feel that way no matter what you do. I mean, think of it. When I got kicked out of South Carolina, they said they didn't believe in the prosperity part. I'd only taken two offerings, and one of them was for the pastor personally, and then one for our ministry. So, you know, they thought I was about money. And I gave $10,000 to the pastor in that offering. It wasn't like I was like taking an offering to like set him at ease so then I could like take all the money from his people. People believe what they're going to believe about you, and there's no, you can't explain it away. I mean, there's, if someone's going to believe something about you that you're selfish or all you care about is money, and they're just going to believe they know the thoughts and intents of your heart, you can't defend yourself. So. McKenna said, I'm grateful to know you and Pastor Rodney. I'm grateful I was in a church that was so dead, I didn't even know what evangelists were besides for street ministry. Well, that's why we've taught on it. And if you go on the YouTube channel, if you feel called to be an evangelist, I have type on this channel, type in Evangelism Summit or type in Jonathan Shuttlesworth Evangelism Summit. And we did three or two of those. We did one with my dad. Yeah, and then we did the second one that was with a bunch of guests. I appreciate that, Kat. Midbar, I've been spiritual from the womb because of a special gift there. In the womb? I lived most of my life knowing very little scripture, but the Great Spirit is always my best friend. That's awesome that the Holy Spirit never really led you to the Bible. Enjoy the womb, Spirit. It's an awesome story. We have our next intake of students in September for Revival Today Bible Institute. Well, you knew where I was going. If you're between the ages of, I was 17 when I went because I had finished high school. 17 to 35, if you're like a young Taiwanese, young man and you finished high school at an American high school at like 8 years old because you just ran circles around everybody. You have a scholarship to Caltech, but you want to come to Revival Today. If you finish high school, basically, to 35, Revival Today Bible Institute, you can apply now at revivaltodaybibleinstitute.com. That's a good point, Andre. Midbar is like, since you can't wave a prophetic flag in the chat, they're like the verbal equivalent of prophetic flag waving. That is an excellent. Midbar, iron sharpens iron. It also pokes your family. You're like Confucius if he had a brain injury. Hey, Midbar, how long does it take a brain injury to heal? All right, Kat. I'll be in Fort Worth. We'll see if we can get you a husband. Father, thank you for tonight in Washington. Thank you for all you're going to do tonight ahead of time. And I thank you for the week to come. Thank you for Fort Worth. Thank you for Pittsburgh and all you'll do there. Thank you for this coming week in Washington. Let this meeting be a supernatural meeting. Let it go to another level. And I pray that you would raise people up off of this broadcast that would go into full-time evangelism. Let there be a strength imparted to them to make it on the road. In Jesus' name. Amen. Nadia said, thank you for the morning sessions, refreshing and inspiring. I appreciate that. I enjoy it myself, so you know you're worth investing in. I would love to have you at Revival Today Bible Institute. I'd love to have you in Washington State. You should be, you know, do everything you can to be a part of these meetings. You'll be glad that you did. I'll give you an opportunity to sew, and then I'm going to send you, along with the two T-shirts, if you've not received them yet, everyone that gives today, I'm going to send you Lester Sumrall's book, While Supplies Last. Lester Sumrall, The Gifts and Ministries of the Holy Spirit. He breaks down all five ministry gifts, and then he breaks down all nine gifts of the Spirit. You'll enjoy that. It's a great book. You know what's crazy one time? One of my first dates with Adalis, she was asking me questions about ministry gifts, I think. And I told her about this book in the car. It was like our third date. And she needed something from CVS, so we stopped. And I think I was going to get a Red Bull. They had one copy of this book in the CVS that we stopped at. I was telling her, like, man, I wish I had this book. I could give it to you, and then you could read about it. And there was one in the CVS book section. And I've never seen it in Christian bookstores. And I've never seen it at a CVS or Walmart or anything since. That was crazy. I've been preaching in Todd White's church for so long, I'm starting to sound like him. It's crazy, bro. Can we do something real quick on the screen? Can you put Russell Johnson's last Instagram post up? It's the one where he's climbing the gate at Columbia University. And then if you can do it live where we could, like, because I want to show you, there's a guy that commented, and then I want to show you what I responded to his comment. See if you can... So we'll do this in real time. By the way, you can give revivaltoday.com and click give now. So the book and the two T-shirts. Thank you for your sewing. Russell is awesome. Russell Johnson is a very nice guy. Very kind. And don't forget to claim your offer at revivaltoday.com. Claim my offer. Thanks, Cliff. You're an encouragement. It's nice meeting you beginning of this year, end of last year, whenever it was. Thank you, Family Channel. Midbar, if you'll sow a seed today, we're going to send you benzodiazepine and some zip ties. All right, go ahead, pop it up. All right, so this is Russell Johnson. They went to Stand with Israel at Columbia University. Then this guy, Sean Fredrickson. I've never heard of him. He has a big following. Wait, bro, imagine if you worked in your own city to spread the gospel as hard as you pander to a foreign nation. Hashtag Christ alone. Can you click on Sean Fredrickson? So he's got like 41,000 followers, and then I checked. And he has like the amount of likes to line up with what he said. So I didn't like, number one, he does, you know. Russell has several campuses. You know what I'm saying? Like he's just like climbing fences looking for publicity. He does do a ton in Seattle. The pastor I'm preaching for said he looks up to him in this area. So let me see his profile picture. Can you click it or not? Is there a way to do that? If you like hold it down, or you can't do that on the, all right, well, good enough. We'll zoom in. So there he is. There's Russell. That's fine. Okay. You can zoom it. We'll see what he looks like. San Diego, you can barely tell. So I don't like people publicly attacking people I like. So there's him. All right, so go back to the post. All right, go to the comments. Bro, imagine if you worked in your own city to spread the gospel as hard as you pandered into foreign nation. View replies. Enjoy your heroic fence climbing and pandering to foreign nations. Continue. Keep, it only shows a few. Show the rest. You can do more, right? Keep going. All right, let's see. Scroll down to mine. I feel like it's one of my best ones. No, keep scrolling down. Did they delete mine? Was it too much even for Russell? Where am I? Is it gone? Really? Maybe somebody runs his account and like doesn't know who I am. Yeah. I mean, mine went much further.
It's there still.
Oh, it's there?
Yeah, on the phone at least.
Okay, well then why won't it show up here? All right, good. It's still up. That makes me happy. Sorry for the wait, folks. Hopefully you'll find it worth it.
We're pulling it up right now.
And there's two of them. So do the Todd White one first. And then before you do, also screenshot a picture of the guy. Because I'm sure there's people that viewed that will have no clue what we're talking about. That are just logging on. Because this joke is taking like 9 minutes to get out. I was thinking that, Kristen. Okay, let's see the picture again of him. before you put that up? So there he is, taking shots at Russell Johnson. Bold move when you look like that. And it was about 2 in the morning, and I couldn't resist. Let me see, mine zoomed in. I had two. I couldn't decide between them, so I put them both up. I'll let you vote. I'm sure you get this all the time, but you look like Todd White with AIDS. And to add hot topic, why is one of your store managers being mean to Russell Johnson? So let's take a poll. Which one do you like better, Todd White with AIDS or Hot Topic? Todd White with AIDS or Hot Topic? Let's take a poll of the crowd before we call it a day today. Yeah, that was my first pick. That's why I put it first. I know. Hot Topic got more likes. Oof. What is that key unlock? I don't even want to know. The back door to Alex Magala's go-go shop. Look at this guy. Looks like a Hasidic Jew with anorexia. Oh, there's some people like the Hot Topic one. Let's see the other guy's picture again. Just so I can feel better about myself. It's a good look. Honey, have you seen my jazz player hat? It matches my black t-shirt. Honey, I don't think there's any honey in this situation. Mittens the cat, can you help me find my key necklace? Can you imagine seeing that key necklace somewhere and be like, how much does that cost? I want to buy that. What are you? Are you an actual person or are you AI generated? Looks like a guy that would give you a side mission on a video game. If you can return my key necklace to me, I'll give you 250 XPs. He does look like Boy George. He looks like somebody that would be lingering around the truck stop restroom. Anyway, on that note, blessings. I will see you tonight at 7 o'clock. Blessings to whoever that guy is. I'm sure you've been through a lot. Sorry for whatever your uncle did to you when you were little. Have a great day, everybody. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.